Thank you, dear Lord, for our mothers who were brave enough to give birth, who loved us through many growing up years, who taught us about God and love and being good, who often got no thanks, whose ears could hear the slightest cry, and whose eyes didn't miss much either, whose hands held and bathed and picked up, whose heart was often broken, who always forgave and forgot, who encouraged us when things went bad, who always had time to listen, who worked so hard to make things right, who make the world so much better, who deserve our love on Mother's Day and every day, even for eternity. Yes, thank you, dear Lord, for our mothers. God knows what it's like to be a mother. After all, did he not give birth to all of creation, give birth to you and me? There have been attempts in recent years to recast God in a feminine light. Indeed, there are places in the Bible where God is spoken of using feminine terms. In the scripture I read earlier out of the Old Testament, God is saying through the prophet Isaiah, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. So there's many places in the Bible where God is spoken of as a mother. But overwhelmingly, he's spoken of in the masculine sense as the Father. And it's right that we speak of him in that sense because the Bible is written for us to understand the nature of God. God is perfect. He has what we consider both masculine and feminine qualities. But it is wrong for us to look at God in a feminine type of way because the Bible presents the male to us as an authoritative figure and the female as one that is submissive. And if we look at God as in a feminine light, we get the wrong impression of God because God cannot be submissive to anybody, to anyone, to anything. So it's proper that we look at God in a masculine point of view. Jesus, after his resurrection, and before his ascension, he said that he must go in order to send a comforter. And oftentimes we think of a comforter in a female way, a woman that gives us comfort as children and so forth. At Pentecost, the church was born. The Holy Spirit descended upon the church. The church was anointed with the Holy Spirit. We became the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. And the church is always referred to in the Bible in feminine terms. A couple years ago, I was asked to be a guest speaker on Mother's Day, and I told you about my earthly mother. Today, I want to talk a little bit about my spiritual mother. I consider the church my spiritual mother. I've grown from an infant in Christ to a more mature Christian in this church. When I first came to church here, it was from a failed marriage, had a drinking problem. I knew I needed God, and I was looking for God, and I just didn't hardly know how to get my hands around it. Started coming to church here, and my Sunday school teacher one Sunday during Lenten season, she said to everybody in Sunday school class, she said, I would like for everybody in the Sunday school class to give up one thing for Lent. Well, at that time, I'd had a drinking problem pretty bad, and I thought, well, maybe now's the time. I'll try to stop drinking for Lent. I'll give it up. Well, I've not drank since then. It was as if a mother's intuition knew something that needed to be said. Didn't know what it was, but she said the right thing at the right time that helped me to stop drinking and get me back on the right track. When I started coming to church here, I'd already read through the Bible a couple times, and it amazed me what was in the Bible. I didn't know what was in the Bible until I read it all the way through. And it's so interesting, I read it through again. And after I started coming to church here, we didn't have a Bible study like we do now on Wednesday afternoon. And I wanted a Bible study. I wanted to get deeper into the Scripture, and I asked for permission to start a Bible study. And the pastor at that time, Ruth Harper, said, sure, go ahead. So I tried to lead a Bible study. And thinking back on some of the sessions I had in Bible study now, I'm so embarrassed at the things I said and tried to do and everything, because I was new to all this stuff. But I tried to conduct a Bible study for about a year and a half. And then one Sunday, the Methodist women recognized me for conducting Bible study and gave me a little certificate I still carry in my Bible. It says, a special recognition has been awarded Calvin Wrong by United Methodist Women. It's dated October 11th, 1989. As imperfect as my attempts was at a Bible study, I was recognized for that. It was as if a child had brought home a Mother's Day card with misspelled words, stick figure drawings, colored out of the line, and a mother had told him it's the most beautiful card they'd ever seen. It meant a lot to me. Later on, I'd been writing to Christy, my wife now, and we decided to get married. Went over to the Philippines and got married, and as luck would have it, on our honeymoon, she conceived. And it took several months to get her back over here after we got married. She was about 7 months along when she got here. And she arrived, and she'd only been here about a week or so. And the Methodist women said, we're going to give her a shower. So I took her over and dropped her off where we were going to have a shower, and they said, we'll bring her home when we're done with her. So I went on back home, and later that night, my wife comes in carrying all the presents she'd got at the baby shower, and I just cannot describe the joy that was on her face when she came home. She was just breathless, speechless at the joy. To me, it was as if a son had brought his wife home, family not knowing the wife, and they were expressing their love for the wife, not because they knew the wife, but just because she was their son's wife. That's how I felt. Later on, after he had a couple kids, I had an adopted daughter from my first marriage. She was having problems with her mother and came to live with us. She was a pretty rebellious little girl. I had a lot of problems with her. Got in trouble with social services. Some of y'all may have been through those kind of things. But social services was threatening to take our other two children away from us if we didn't resolve conflicts with my adopted daughter. And we had a member of the church come over and sit down with us and say, I know what you're going through. And I felt I just had to come over and share it with you and let you know you're not the only one that's felt that way. And it's just as if a mother had come over and sat down with her child and put her arms around the child just to share the hurt with the child. That's what it felt like. There have been others in the church that passed on that's been an inspiration to me also. Linda Snyder, who can deny that she was a spiritual mother in the church? She had a way of asking you to do something in ministry to others that you really didn't want to do. But you did it because you felt a little bit guilty. But that guilt would turn to joy by the time the task was over with because of her encouragement and praise. Another person that meant a lot to me and inspired me was Carlos Edge. You may remember him as a person that gave us a Christmas tree every Christmas. But I remember him as a godly man that, when he was elected president of Methodist Men, tried his best to turn a Methodist Men meeting into more spiritual gathering. He had a genuine concern for spiritual health of the men of the church. He was inspiration to me. A big part of my spiritual growth in the church has been being allowed to teach a Sunday school class. One person I really enjoyed having in my Sunday school class was Donald Biggs. He would come to Sunday school class every Sunday prepared. He had read his lesson the night before. He had read commentaries. And I was sort of scared when I come to Sunday school class, afraid he had studied harder and more than I had. He had asked questions, and he let us know what he thought about the Bible. It was so enjoyable to have him in class. It was sort of like your mother prodding you, work a little bit harder. You can do better. And then there's W.A. Stewart. He presided over the Sunday school class as a president. He was there every Sunday that he wasn't out of town or sick. And oftentimes, it's just the two of us there. And it'd get a little depressing when the other men didn't show up, just the two of us sitting there. And he'd know I prepared the Sunday school lesson. He said, just save it. He said, those guys need to hear it. I know you worked hard on it. You just keep it. We'll have it next Sunday. You know, that's something that a gift that all of us are given is a gift of our presence. You don't have to do anything. Just show up. Just be there. It is a encouragement to a minister to have a full house. It is encouragement to have a Sunday school teacher to have lots of students there. Even if they're not doing anything, just be in there. Last Sunday, had four new people in our Sunday school class talk about being encouraged. That's encouragement. Don't withhold that gift from the church. That's a gift that you can easily give, your presence. There's also been many other saints in the church that have been an encouragement and inspiration to me through the years. But because we are imperfect children of God, conflicts often arise in church. And occasionally I've been involved in the conflicts in some way. And you can't help but feel hurt when those kind of things happen. But there's always been whispers in the ear, or a pat on the back, or a squeezed hand, or an encouraging call at home. It's as if your mother is kissing your spiritually hurt knee, telling you it's going to be better. Kids, have you ever thought about running away from home? I ran away from home one time. I was a teenager. I had a full-time job. I had a car I paid for. I had money in the bank. I cleaned out my bank account. Had a Volkswagen Beetle. And I was going to California. Headed down the road. I live in North Carolina. Headed down the road, down I-40. After I got off work at night, didn't tell anybody I was leaving. Got halfway between Knoxville and Nashville and pull off the side of the road, go to sleep. Couldn't go to sleep. Thinking about my mom and parents, I know she's going to be worried about me. Who's going to wash my clothes, take care of me? I got to go back home. If I go back home real quick, maybe I can get back home before they wake up and they don't want to know I left. Well, they knew I didn't come home that night, and they had been out looking for me. I had some explaining to do when I got home. But I couldn't leave. Couldn't leave home. If God's children are running away from home, running away from the church, and not returning, we have to ask ourselves, is it because of me? Am I not a loving, nurturing, and comforting person? Am I not looking after God's children? Am I not a reflection of God's Holy Spirit in the church? And who's the church? A hymn in our book says, I'm the church, you're the church, we're the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we're the church together. We look internally at ourselves if God's children are running away from home. If there's a feminine side to God, it's manifested in the church that is anointed with the Holy Spirit, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, that loves, comforts, and nourishes God's children, and tells them of the hope for eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Recently, the trustees had a meeting where they had a vision of preschool and after-school care. A few weeks later, a church vision meeting confirmed that vision. Council on Ministries endorsed the vision. It's my prayer that this church can reach out to those families that need love, nurturing, and comforting by the family of God, giving them purpose for their earthly life and hope for life eternal. Amen.